Hey guys, super excited to wrap up our series called You, and we saved the best for last, the nines, the peacemaker, and the reason that we picked them to be last is because we knew they wouldn't start a fight with us because we made them last. So we're super grateful for all of our peacemakers in our church, man. We're so grateful for you. We love you so much. Look, I'm going to challenge you today. Hopefully I'm going to inspire you to be all that God has called you to be. But peacemakers are absolutely amazing. We're going to look at an incredible peacemaker in your Bibles. Let's open our Bibles up to Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 through 33. It's interesting that when God starts our faith, he chooses a nine to begin with. Somebody who has a heart for peacemaking, who has a heart to literally see both sides and just be an incredible, incredible person. But it takes an extraordinary person to negotiate peace with God. And that's where our story begins. Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. It says, "So the Lord told Abraham, I have heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin is so flagrant." Look, the reality is Sodom and Gomorrah is probably the two most famous cities in the history of the world for all the wrong reasons. They did everything wrong. Were terrible, terrible sinners. So bad that it got the attention of God in heaven. And literally, he's going to come down and take a look to see if it's as bad as he's heard. And so here we have God preemptively looking at the city to see if he's going to strike it and destroy it. And ultimately he does, but he's going to send down some representatives, three angels, to check it out for himself. So here we are in verse 21. God says, "I'm going to go down and see if their actions are as wicked as I have heard. If not, I want to know." So he's getting all these reports and God says, "I want to see for myself what's happening on earth." The other men turned and headed towards Sodom, but the Lord remained with Abraham. And here goes one of the most classic peace summits in the history of the world. You think about what's happening between the United States and North Korea and all the tenseness really revolving around, you know, nuclear war or peace. And this is basically what's happening here. God's going to bring down nuclear war on Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham is interceding, and he's going to try to talk God out of destroying the most wicked city on a wicked planet called Earth. And so here's where this story begins. This is classic, classic nine. Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away both the righteous and the wicked?" So he's saying, "God, are you going to kill, you know, everybody? I mean, surely not everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah is wicked." And so listen to what Abraham says. "Suppose you find 50 righteous people living there in the city." Now, we don't know exactly how many people lived in the city because it's destroyed, but it's a massive city. It's two cities joined together. And literally, we're talking about thousands and thousands of people. And so Abraham says, "Look, are you going to kill everybody? I mean, surely they're not all bad apples." He says, "What if there's 50 righteous people living in the city? Surely you wouldn't do such a thing, destroying both the righteous along with the wicked. Why would you be treating the righteous and the wicked exactly the same? Surely you wouldn't do that. Should not the judge of all the earth do what's right?" So here Abraham is, he's challenging the goodness of God. And he's saying, "Look, not everybody can be bad. They can't all be bad apples." And he's trying to negotiate a peace treaty between God, the righteous and almighty, and the wicked city of Sodom. Here's what's amazing is God says, the Lord replied, "If I find 50 righteous people living in Sodom, I will spare the entire city for their sake." So there's just 50 good apples amongst all the rotten ones. I won't judge them. But here's the problem. Sodom was pretty bad. And so Abraham knows this. So Abraham continues again. "Since I have begun, let me speak further to my Lord. Even though I am but dust and ashes, suppose there are only 45 righteous people rather than 50. Will you destroy the whole city for a lack of five?" And the Lord said, "I will." And then Abraham pressed his request further. "Suppose there are only 40. And the Lord replied, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 40 people. 40 people. He says, "Please don't be angry, my Lord," Abraham pleaded. "Let me speak again. Suppose there are only 30 righteous people that are to be found." So we've gone from 50 to 45 to 40. Now we're skipping in 10-person increments. And the Lord replied, "I will not destroy if there's only 30 people in Sodom and Gomorrah." And then Abraham said, "Since I have dared to speak to the Lord, let me continue. Suppose there are only," and you got to just start laughing now, "suppose there's only 20 people. And the Lord replied, "Then I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Finally, Abraham said, "Lord, please don't be angry with me if I speak one more time. Suppose there are only 10 righteous people there." And the Lord replied, then I will not destroy the city for the sake of the 10. When the Lord had finished his conversation with Abraham, he went on his way, and Abraham returned to his tent. Now, we know from the Bible and from history that there weren't 10 righteous people in this city. And let me just say this, you gotta be really, really careful about the environment and the people that you surround yourself with, because a lot of people say, well, I'm going to be a witness to the unrighteous. I'm gonna be the good person in the bad bunch. But the Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. And so here's the reality. Everybody was bad in Sodom and Gomorrah. Nobody was good. There weren't even 10 righteous people in the entire city. Think about that. That's like 99.99999% of everybody was evil and awful. It was so bad when the Lord sent his messengers to the city to see it for themselves, the residents of the city. Here's what the Bible says. Every grown man tried to rape the angels. Think about that. That's how bad it was. All of the men of the city came out to destroy God's angels. But here's Abraham trying to negotiate a peace, trying to find a position to where he can avoid the conflict, avoid the destruction. And you have to, you know, you have to see it from Abraham's point of view. I mean, surely God's will is always no war. You know, a lot of people say this, you know, war is never the answer. And my response is, well, what's the question? Sometimes war is the answer. Now, we need to avoid it at all costs, but sometimes, you know, even God demands there's war. So the peacemaker reflects God's peace. These are beautiful, wonderful, amazing people. The basic desire of the peacemaker is to be at peace, and write this down, to avoid conflict, okay, to avoid conflict and create a healthy space for people to thrive. Now, my wife and I, we've taken the same test that you have, and my wife's 9 score is almost non-existent, and I have to pretend I have 9 so that there's some kind of peace in our household. Both my wife and I, like 0.5 and 0.9s. And so what that means is we don't withhold any thought. We share everything, you know, that comes into our minds, and we're, you know, we're ready to scrap, you know, quicker than peace. And so I've had to manufacture a 9 in my life to try to negotiate, you know, our marriage. So be thankful for 9s, man. 9s are peacemakers. They want everybody to get along. They want everybody to be okay. They want to create a healthy space where you can be you and you can thrive and you can be all that God has created you to be. They're wonderful, beautiful, amazing people. And this is why God chose Abraham literally to begin his work, because Abraham is going to be able to see both sides. Now, when healthy, look at this, when healthy, 9s, the peacemakers, they see multiple sides to any given decision or scenario. So if you're raising a 9, you got a kid who's a 9, they're gonna say, well, I hear what you're saying, mom or dad, but have you thought about this? What about this perspective, or what about that perspective? 9s are the least judgmental personality type. They can always find some good, or almost always find some good, in somebody's situation. I mean, think about Abraham. We're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah here, the most evil city and the most evil people of all time. And Abraham's like, Lord, maybe you, God Almighty, omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing, maybe you've overlooked 50, 45, 40, 30, 25. Maybe you've overlooked 10 people. And God says, nope, if there's even 10 people, I won't destroy the city. So healthy 9s see multiple sides to any given decision or scenario. They can see it from multiple angles. Now think about it, they sit right next to the 8. And here's what's so amazing. They're so close to the 8, but they're so far away, right? The 8 sees one way, their way, or it's the highway. The 9 sees multiple routes that can be taken and how we can all get to the same place. So here's what's amazing about the 9s. Here's what I love about them. They're inclusive. They're great to be a part of a team. Healthy 9s are fantastic as ministers in our church or staff members in our church. When they're healthy, they want to be a part of a team. They want everybody to get the credit, right? They're not all about themselves. They're about the team. They're about moving the ball forward together. They're inclusive. They're not going to exclude anybody. They want to make sure that everybody's a part, everybody's opinion is valued, and everybody gets an opportunity to contribute. So they're inclusive. Next, they're patient, right? They're patient and accepting of others. Man, 9s are great parents, right? When, you know, the rest of us want to literally strangle our 2-year-old, 9s are like, well, they're learning to find themselves and they're sowing their wild oats as a 2-year-old. The rest of us are like, nope, that kid needs a beating. The 9's like, well, let's give it a little time and let's sit back and see what God does. They're just so patient and so amazing with the rest of us. So maybe the 8 has very little patience. The 9 has literally just overflows with patience for people. So Abraham knows how evil, you know, the city of Sodom is, but he's like, maybe if we just give them a chance, they'll get better. Literally, maybe if we just, you know, God, you go down and speak to them. Maybe they'll repent and change. Here's the next thing about nines, and here's what I love about them. Nines are good listeners. Man, if you want to sit down and be heard, find a nine. They are great listeners. They care about your heart. They care about your feelings. They love your story. They're fantastic, fantastic listeners. And that's just how they're so gifted. Like many of us, you know, I'm a three. You know, I have a hard time listening because I know what we got to do and I know where we got to go. Right now, I'm high seven. I want to go to have fun. You know, I'm high eight. So my idea is better than yours anyway. So let's just move on. Nines are beautiful. They want to hear your story. They want to come alongside. So I've had to work at listening. Nines are just naturally gifted at it. They make great friends. So when you're hurt or you're upset and you want to share your feelings, man, they're there to listen. Here's what's amazing. They're great mediators, right? That's what Abraham does. They're a mediator. Christ is our mediator. And so they try to bring two conflicting people or situations together. They just are naturally gifted at finding peace. And what they can do is they can see where two parties who are polarized, where both are right in an area, and they can get them to agree to a common ground or a common good. So if you're a nine, that's just a great, great way. You know, you could be a marriage counselor or a mediator for a court and try to find, you know, a way for two hostile parties to work together. If you have a child who's a nine and there's multiple siblings, they're always negotiating the peace. You know, when the eights want to kill the threes or the threes want to kill the eights, you know, the nine is trying to find common ground. Absolutely fantastic. When healthy, eights are considerate of the perspective of others. So last week we talked about the eight doesn't see your perspective, doesn't necessarily care about your perspective because their perspective is the right perspective and you need to get on board with that. The nine, they may not agree with you, but they care about your perspective and they might be able to learn something or see it from your perspective. And that's just absolutely amazing. They care about your opinion. They care about your ideas. They care about your contribution to the team. And so they make sure that you have room to be heard. Next, they desire to see the world as a more peaceful place. And who doesn't? I mean, don't we need peace? We need peace in the world. We need it almost everywhere. And so nines play an important, important role, not only in the world, but listen to me, in the church. The church is full of conflict. The church is full of division. And we need nines to bring us together, to remind us of our common cause, to remind us of our common purpose, and to remind us of our common Lord. And so nines are very, very wise, and they're so needed, literally, when some of us are ready to get divorced, we're ready to give up on our kids, we're ready to leave the church. Maybe you're ready to quit your job, or you're just fed up with your own life. A nine can help you to see the other side. They can help you see something that you're missing. And so nines are just great, great people to bounce things off of. What do you think about this? Or if you're, you know, you're trying to figure out between A and B and you're not sure, the nine can literally help you come up with a list of pros and cons for both. And they're fantastic, fantastic. That's when they're healthy. Now, when a nine becomes unhealthy, okay, there's a huge shift here. So when healthy, they're great friends, great mediators, great peacemakers. When they're unhealthy, they will avoid conflict at all costs. And you say, what could be so awful with that? Sometimes people need to be confronted. Like, for example, you can't negotiate peace with Adolf Hitler. You can't do it. The world tried. And when they did that, millions of people died. And so there are sometimes there's evil, there's situations where you can't avoid it. You have to have conflict. You know, you can pray for peace, you can hope for peace, you can work for peace, but sometimes there has to be, you know, literally a conflict. You have to confront someone or something. You can't pray that it goes away. And so they will avoid conflict at all costs. And literally, you know, nines don't commit sins by doing things. Oftentimes, their sin is not doing something. So they don't get involved. They don't participate. They walk away. And because of that, somebody gets beat up or hurt or is sinned against or is wronged. And so literally, you know, there's two types of sins in the Bible. Sins of commission, that's things we commit. But then there's sins of omission, things we don't do. And so if you're a nine, oftentimes nines believe falsely that they're good people. And here's why. Because I haven't done anything wrong. Okay? Listen to me. When you stand before God, you're not just going to be held accountable for what you did do. You're going to be held accountable for what you didn't do. And so in the parable of the talents, there's three talents. One with 10, 5, and one with 2. The one with 2 talents is judged because he buried his talent in the ground and did nothing with it. And God says, you wicked and lazy servant. So you need to know, I've got to do something. I can't live my life avoiding everything. I have to engage. I have to be active. Next, when unhealthy, a nine doesn't declare their own needs. And this can be really frustrating because you can ask a nine, where do you want to go out to eat? And they say, I don't care. They do. They care. Okay? They care. And if you're not careful, what they're going to do is they're going to be upset with you because you never ask where they want to go. So you have to say, what are your thoughts? What are your needs? How do you care? When we sit around a meeting at Sandals Church and I know there are nines present, literally the eights are going to tell me what we should do. The threes are going to tell me how they're right, right? The sevens want to hurry up and get done with the decision so we can go have fun and do something, you know, that they wanted to do. But the nines, they'll just sit there. And here's the thing. Sometimes the nine has the best decision or the best idea, but they won't declare it. They won't say it. And because of that, the church misses out, the group misses out, your family misses out, you miss out, because the eights are always going to think they know what to do. And okay, let's be fair, they're usually right. But man, those gems, those great ideas, those great thoughts oftentimes come from the nine. So with a nine, if you're married to a nine, you have to say, how are you really feeling? Are those really your thoughts? And you have to create a safe place because they won't tell you. They won't tell you. They want you to read their mind. They want you to know them. They want you to understand, you know, how you should act, and they won't declare it. And that creates conflict because here's the thing. None of us knows how anyone feels until they share it. So a nine won't declare their own needs. And here's the thing. When they don't declare their own needs and they're unhealthy, they become, write this down, passive aggressive, right? So a nine's never going to punch you in the face. They're going to do it like, you know, through the internet or through a story or some way. They're going to get at you in a passive aggressive way. So they'll smile. Yep, that's the greatest idea ever. But when they're unhealthy, they're going to get you later. They're going to strike when nobody's looking. And so you have to be very, very careful. So especially if you're an eight, and you're married to a nine, so you're always dominating, you're always in control, and the nine's just going along with the ride, sooner or later, here's what happens. The nine is going to strike back, be upset. And so here's what happens if you're a nine. You don't share, you don't share, you don't share, you don't share. And then when you do share, you're done. You're done because you've never declared. You've never said, I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't want to go there. And by the time you get to the place where you can't withhold it anymore, the relationship's so broken. It's so messed up. There's no hope. So you have to declare. You have to say, here's how I feel. And just so you know, you're not going to want to, because sharing how you feel oftentimes leads to conflict. So when unhealthy, the nine can become stubborn. I want you to think of the nine as an elephant, right? When an elephant's, you know, motivated, they're powerful. Now, they're never going to be a sprinter, okay? Elephants don't sprint, but when they move, they're very, very powerful. When a nine is healthy, they can do great things. Literally, they can move obstacles that you never thought could be moved. But let me tell you something about an elephant. If it sits and it doesn't want to move, it won't move. And here's the thing with nines. They can be powerful at going nowhere. And so here's the thing. If a nine's unhealthy, they'll tell you, yep, 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 I'll do that. I'll go there. We can do that. And then they will sit and they won't go. And you'll be totally frustrated because you're like, I don't understand. A nine lies not because they're a liar, but they lie because they don't want conflict. So they'll tell you, yes, I'll do that. Yes, I think we should do that. Yes, I think we should go there. Yes, I think that's a good idea. But you can always tell what a nine really thinks by what they're doing. So if they're sitting and they refuse to move, and here's what the nine says. The nine, they're just going to outlast you. They're going to outlast you. Think about it. If you pulled as hard as you could, I don't care if you're an eight, pull on an elephant, try to make an elephant go, get behind it, push it, tug it, do whatever it takes, man. With all your power, an unhealthy eight or unhealthy nine can sit forever and they can outlast you. And that's what they do when they're unhealthy. And, you know, so just know that. So here's their core sin. And here's why it's so powerful for the nine and their ability to sit and not do something. Their core sin is laziness. Okay? Now, some of you are offended by that. And let me just say this. If you're not offended by the core sin, it's not yours. You just got to know that. If it doesn't rub you the wrong way, it's not your sin. All of these sins, when mentioned, if it's you, you don't like it. So the core sin is laziness. Now, nines can be productive. They can exercise, eat well, and do all those things. And so you might say, well, I don't see where laziness shows up in my life. So For some nines, it's very, very easy. You're a couch potato, you don't exercise, you don't care, take care of your body, you don't have a high drive, you don't have a high motor, you're like, yep, that's me. I literally, you know, my best day is doing nothing. You know, you're Jim Gaffigan, one of my favorite comics, you know, clearly a nine, and he's made a lot of money doing nothing, but he's funny. But that might be hard for you to identify with. So here's, let me give you a couple words that maybe help you to identify how laziness affects in your life. The core sin of laziness is manifested through indecision. I just don't know what I should do, so I'm not gonna do anything, okay? And indecision can literally lead to paralyzation. You can become paralyzed. And that's what happens to a nine, is they don't know what to do, so they don't do anything. I don't know what I should do for a career, so I won't have a career. I don't know what major I should pick in college, so I won't graduate from college. I don't know who I should date, so I won't date. And that's literally what can happen, and you just stop. Remember the sitting elephant? You stop, and you don't do anything. So that's indecision. Next is inaction. They're just not gonna do it. So that's where laziness comes. You know what you should do, but you don't do it. You know what, you know, you have a list of 10 things you should do, and you're just like, no, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not going to take action on that. And so that's how it manifests in your life. Somebody can tell you, you should eat better. You're like, yep, but you don't. You should work out. Yep, but you don't. You should try this. Yep, but you don't, right? You should pray more. You should read your Bible more. And you just don't do it. You don't take action on what you know you should do. So that's one of the ways laziness. And next is procrastination. Now, all of us probably procrastinate a little bit, but the nines are great. They will come up with literally 1,000 things that they need to do to not do what they know they should do. And so that's how laziness is. You're gonna literally do all kinds of things and avoid the one thing. So like if a nine has a term paper due, they're gonna clean their dorm room. They're gonna, you know, make sure that they talk to that friend they've never talked to. They're gonna do all kinds of things to avoid the one thing they're supposed to be doing. So the core sin of laziness, not doing the important or necessary things required for growth. Look, relationships are hard. You have to work through it to require growth. You know, studying your Bible, it's hard, but that's what it takes to grow. There are all kinds of things you need to do to grow, and the nine will not do what they need to do, but oftentimes will focus on what they want. But what you want is not always healthy. So here's the beauty of a healthy peacemaker. A healthy peacemaker is always in pursuit of embracing conflict. Look, you're never gonna love it, and that's okay. I don't particularly love conflict. I'm not a high eight, but you have to embrace it. Sometimes you have to have conflict to work it out. So if you never have conflict in your marriage, and so a lot of nines will say, well, we never fight about anything. And then all of a sudden, 15, 20 years later, they'll say this, we just grew apart. Well, the reason you grew apart is because you were never willing to engage and have the tough conversations to declare what you like or how you feel. So a healthy peacemaker is always in pursuit of embracing healthy conflict. So you have to ask yourself, okay, I don't wanna do this because it's gonna lead to a fight, it's gonna lead to conflict, but is this gonna lead to a positive outcome? Next, they have to declare their wants and their needs as a means of deeper connection with themselves and others. People can't love you if they don't know you. And the primary way we get to know you is when you declare things. Here's how I think, here's how I feel, here's what I want. So especially if you have multiple kids and you have a child that's a nine, they're never gonna say what their favorite ice cream is. They're just gonna eat what everybody else wants. They're just gonna do what everybody else does. And that's not good for life, because God's created you, even if you're a nine, as an individual. You have your own likes, your own dislikes, you have your own needs, your own wants, your own desires, and you've got to learn to declare that, because a nine can just slip in with other people and never be who God's called them to be. So a healthy peacemaker is always in pursuit of embracing conflict and declaring their wants and needs as a means of deeper connection. So let's talk about that in regards to Abraham. So Abraham's this great peacemaker, right? So it's always a good thing. No, it's not always a good thing. So Abraham has two wives, Sarah, his first wife, and Hagar, a servant that he eventually takes on as a concubine, but she gets pregnant with a son named Ishmael. And so there's conflict between Sarah and Hagar. And so here's what Sarah says. Sarah says, I want you to get rid of Hagar and your son Ishmael. Now, here's what a healthy nine would do. Hagar, you know, Sarah, I can understand how you want me to do this, but you're the one that asked me to have a child with Hagar, right? But a nine's not gonna do that. They're not gonna be declarative. And here's what Abraham doesn't do. He doesn't say, I really, really care for my son. Ishmael. He matters to me. I love him. I care for him deeply. He never declares his needs. And so to maintain the peace in his home, here's what he does. He sentences Hagar and Ishmael to death. That's what he does because he can't declare his own needs. Another time he has conflict with his nephew, Lot. And so here he is, he's brought Lot along. Lot has no money, no influence, no power. Underneath Abraham's leadership, Lot grows in wealth, Lot grows in power. Lot grows in all kinds of ways, but their work people, their herdsmen start fighting and there's conflict. And so here's what Abraham says, look, I don't wanna fight. He says, I want you to choose. If you choose the left, I'll choose the right. If you choose the right, I'll choose the left. Abraham says, wherever you go, I won't go. And ultimately that leads to the doom of Lot and his family because Abraham doesn't confront his spoiled nephew and say, look, this is a problem. Listen to me, you little sucker. I've given you everything you have and you're a spoiled brat. And now it's time to listen to me. He doesn't do that. And Lot's constantly in trouble. And literally, listen to me, Nines, because he doesn't confront Lot, Lot literally is cursed for generations because he doesn't have an uncle that speaks into his life. And so if you're a nine, you're not going to want to speak into your nephew's life. You're not going to want to declare to your sons or your daughters because you don't want to cause conflict. You don't want to ruffle the feathers. But if you don't do that, you are creating a disaster for the future of the people that you love. Listen to me, it's not easy to confront your kids, but you need to because you need to raise your kids to be able to be good, moral, right, and true. And the only way that's gonna happen is not if you sit back and say, well, it's up to God. God has placed you in charge and you have to step in and say, here, look, you blew it. And I don't wanna have this conversation. I mean, I wish we could just have fun, have a good time, but you're screwing up and you gotta speak into their life. So just know, Abraham's intent as a nine was not to harm Hagar and Ishmael. It wasn't to harm Lot, his wife, and all their kids. But ultimately, his desire for peace trumped his desire for what's good, right, and true. And the nine has to talk about what's moral, good, right, and true over what's peaceful. Because peace is not always the best thing, especially when it negatively affects the people that God loves and cares about. And that includes you and your family, your friends, and most importantly, your church. So the nine has to be declarative. So how does a nine need to be real with self? This is the big deal. So write this down. A nine needs to own and resolve their own feelings. Here's the thing about a nine. You're so good at listening to everybody else's soul, you forget you have a soul. You're so good at listening to everybody else's feelings, you forget your feelings. The reason nines don't declare how they feel is they're so busy trying to maintain peace between everybody else. They're not thinking, how does this make me feel? What are my thoughts on this? What are my feelings on this? They're trying to resolve everybody else's feelings. They negate their own feelings. So you have to own and resolve your own feelings. Look, people can't know you and love you until you own your feelings and you declare them and you say, here's how I feel, here's what I'm thinking. Man, this really made me upset. This really hurt my feelings. And again, if you're a nine and you're married to someone who's not a nine, you just have to say, this is really hard for me. I don't wanna do this, but this is for the best and I'm going to declare what I feel and think and what's going on in my mind. Next, right, I feel like I'm just repeating myself, but real with others. So not only do you have to own your needs and feelings, you have to make declarative statements. I don't like that. I don't agree. I think we should go left and not right. I think, you know, you're wrong. I think he's right. Declarative statements are statements that are clear. They're not wishy-washy. It's not, well, I can see both sides. It's making a statement that everybody else understands you're on one side or the other. You have this feeling or not that feeling. You either agree or you disagree. You can't leave any gray area. The nine lives in the gray, which is great for you, but it drives the rest of us crazy. So just say what you feel. Just say what you think. And that's important in being a Christian and being a child of God and being a mature adult. Here's what I think. So you got to make a declarative statement and embrace that conflict isn't necessarily bad. It's not always bad. And that their involvement can actually lead to the resolution. Here's why we need nines involved. You're going to help bring about the peace, but you can't pretend there's not a conflict for there to be peace. And so, you know, in small group, when conversations get awkward or weird or heated or whatever, that's when the nine needs to be active. And typically what you do is you go hide in your shell, like you're a turtle, and you just disappear until the smoke clears, and then you come out. That's when you need to be involved. We don't want the eights to resolve it. We don't want the threes to resolve it. We want the nines to speak and be declarative and help bring healing to the group. And the problem is the people we need the most speak up the least. And that's a huge, huge challenge. So how to be real with God. Next, you got to pursue faith with action. Please, people are not going to want to be real with you about this, but laziness is a real thing. It's a real sin. Okay, it is. It affects you. Look, maybe God gave you a slow motor. That's fine. Be an elephant. So what that means is when you move, you've got to be powerful. But you have to pursue faith with action. You have to actually do something. God doesn't just want you to think, reflect, or be a yoga instructor, right? Nines are super spiritual, and oftentimes they can mask their inaction with spiritual language. So you can feel like they're doing something, but they're not doing something. So you've got to actually have faith and action. So nines, you can think something, you can feel something, you can believe something, but you need to do something. So pursue faith with action. The Bible says this, Romans 12:11, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Serve the Lord enthusiastically. Use your gifts for the glory of God. Again, you don't have to be a sprinter, but you do need to move. You need to move for God and you need to work for God. You can't just sit back and let everybody else do it. Because the nines, you got to watch that. You will work yourself out of everything and have everybody else doing it. So you've got to make sure that you are serving. You are doing something. So if you have a nine in your life, let me give you some just helpful hints as how to love them and how to care for them. Number one, this is huge. Create an environment where their voice is heard and it matters, okay? A nine is not gonna wanna speak up. And let me tell you something, if they do speak up and you shut it down and you slam it, guess what? They are never going to be honest with you again, ever. So you gotta create an environment where you say, hey, your opinion matters. Literally, when we're having a staff meeting and I know there are nines present, I'll say, we've heard from everyone else. Now nines, I need you to speak up. Or, and just so you don't make them panic, just say, hey guys, I know the nines aren't gonna share anything at the end of the meeting. I'm gonna ask the nines specifically to make declarative statements about what they thought. And that, you know, they're freaking out, but I'm gonna wanna hear from them because again, the threes and the eights and the sevens and some of the more boisterous, you know, personalities, they're gonna take control and we need to hear the nines to make sure we don't miss something. So create an environment. So if you have a bunch of kids and you have a nine, you gotta make the other kids stop, listen, and let's respect while the nine in our family speaks up because they matter and we care about them and we want to create an environment where their voice is heard. So let me just say this, if you're a nine and you grew up in a home where your voice didn't matter and when you spoke up, it was squashed. Look, I'm sorry that happened. We need to come alongside to help you grow to create environments where you are heard and your voice does matter. And again, personalities like mine were overwhelming. We tend to squash other ideas. And so just let me say, I'm sorry, and I apologize for that. You do matter to God and to us. And we're working at Sandals to create an environment where we hear from you because we need you. So next, don't shield me from all conflict. So if you're married to a nine, you can literally block all conflict from them and you're not doing them a favor. Listen, there's conflict in life and conflict brings growth. So, you know, if you become codependent and you're constantly blocking your spouse or your child from every single difficult thing or from every conflict, you're not helping them, you're hurting them. And just like Lot, right? Eventually, guess what happens? His wife dies. His life is a disaster. Read about what happens to him. Abraham should have spoken the truth, not blocked conflict, and just said, look, your people are just as responsible as my people for this conflict. Let's sit down and figure a solution out that doesn't involve breaking up the family because that was the solution ultimately that they came to. So don't shield me, this is how you love a nine, from all conflict, but encourage me to actively engage. Number three, the next thing we need to do is celebrate with me as a nine when I finish projects. Okay, it's very difficult for nines to finish projects. Nines, and here's a classic nine, they will be working on 50 things and finishing zero things. So when they finish something, a term paper, a dissertation, a job, a project, something that you've asked them to do, you need to celebrate that because it's not unlike nines to say, I'm gonna get to it, 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 and they never get to it. And it doesn't mean they're lying, they have the intent to get to it. In their mind, they believe they are going to get to that, but there's so many other things that are in the way. So celebrate with them when they finish something. Make a big deal on it. Don't put them down. Well, it's about time you finish something. Celebrate them and encourage them, right? I mean, human beings, we love to be rewarded when we do good things. And so just say, man, that's great you finished that project. It's great, like a 9, if you raise a kid, they're not going to want to finish the baseball season. They're not going to want to finish the soccer season. So celebrate it. Don't make them sign up again, but celebrate it when they survive a season or they get through a difficult situation. It's really, really important because people who can't finish projects don't finish life well. And so we need to encourage that. Next, don't push 9s to sprint, right? Like if you're raising a 9, maybe the track team isn't for them. I'm just saying, that's not the sport to involve them in. Now, that's not to say they don't need to be active. They don't need to do something. We told our kids, you're going to do something active because we're not raising couch potatoes. We're raising, you know, kids for Christ. And so you got to do something. You pick what it is. And I told my kids this, you pick or I pick. And so a couple of my kids didn't pick, so we picked. So pick something, but don't push them to be sprinters, especially if you're a 3. I'm a 3. Look, here's what I do on my time off, the Ironman. That's what I do on my time off. 9's probably not going to do that. You know, they find watching an Ironman exhausting. So just know they got to find something. So if you're married to a 9 and you want to run together, maybe walk together. Or maybe you run at a different pace together, but that's going to create conflict because they just go at a different pace. And that's fine. And just remember the old saying, the tortoise and the hare, right? The hare sprints, but the tortoise is going to finish. And just know we got to encourage the 9s in our life, like the tortoise, to finish. Next, this is huge. Thank me as a 9 for my gift to see the other side of things. I cannot tell you how much we need that wisdom in our world. You know, oftentimes, think about the racial issue and the racial divide. 9s are great at seeing the perspective of blacks and seeing the perspective of whites and bringing us together, seeing the perspective of men and seeing the perspective of women, seeing the perspective of parents and kids, right? Republicans and Democrats. This is a skill we need. And so we need to thank them for their ability to see multiple sides of the same thing, because a lot of us see in black and white, and 9s, their beauty is they can see in the gray. And so again, help 9s help you to see both sides. Listen, I love you as 9s. I care for you. I want you to be declarative and I want you to get some stuff done in life. God has called you. There's a reason he chose Abraham, because Abraham could get things done. But when you read his story, he kind of gets stuck at certain places and he has a hard time being declarative. And just know your laziness, not declaring, literally can be terrible for the people that you love. And I want you to be able to declare and be truthful and clear about what it is that God's calling you to be clear about. So let's close in prayer. I got a prayer here for the 9s. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, help me to trust you in the midst of conflict. Help me to know my feelings and share them with others. Strengthen my will to do what I want to do, not what I want to do, but what I need to do. Help me to share the spiritual depth that you have blessed me with. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for 9s, God. They're just such amazing people, peaceful people. Lord, they're spiritual gurus with such wisdom. God, I pray that their wisdom would be matched with action. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.